Hi, and welcome to this episode of Tech Interviews. So this episode has come about by a little chance social media conversation that we had. And it's one of those things where IT is full of technologies that kind of seem to come and go, and sometimes are in vogue and sometimes they're not. And this is kind of one of those episodes where thin client desktops are a technology that have been around and about the IT industry kind of on and off for all of my time working in this industry, and I've been doing this role for kind of 20 years. And are they still a thing? And that's kind of the topic of this week's conversation. And so to help me have that chat, I'm joined by Tony Main. Hi, Tony.
Hi there, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, doing good, thank you.
Great stuff. So me and Tony had a chat a couple of weeks ago, as I say, came about through this kind of chance social media conversation. And the idea with thin client desktops came up. So Tony works for a company called Prime. They're a thin client desktop company. And I think that what came out of our conversation was that this kind of technology is actually still very much valid. But we'll kind of get to that. So, but maybe to kick off, Tony, if you want to maybe introduce yourself a little bit and tell us a little bit about your background and what it is that Prime do.
Yeah, certainly. I'm Tony Main, as said. My official job title is the Territory Manager for Prime over in the UK. I look after basically the sales and pre-sales and post-sales aspects for our organisation, mostly in the UK, but I do cover Northern Europe and Benelux and Scandinavia, etc. Been with the company probably just coming up to a year, but I've been working within this particular industry sector for far too long. From a vendor perspective, from dealer, from installer, from user, from distributor, the whole spectrum effectively I've been involved with. So I've seen it mature from a nice little idea all the way through to what we've got today. So it's something I sometimes sound like I'm evangelizing about, but it's all done with a degree of a bit circumspect as well, because I understand what the realities are. So it's really just sort of give you an oversight and an overview of really what thin client is up to these days, really, I think is the best way of thinking about it, and how it's sort of broken out from the mould of what it used to be, and also how we probably need to get that message across to people to sort of maybe give it a second chance, really, if they've been dismissive of it in the past. As mentioned, I work for a company called Prime. It's spelled P-R-A-I-M, and it's pronounced Prime because we're Italian. And that's the vernacular and the way they do it. As an organisation, Prime have been working in the industry for about 30 years. So this is actually our 30th anniversary this year. The embryo of the company came out from working with IBM mainframe connectivity. So that would be 3270 and AS400 connection for terminal emulation and printer redirection. But they then realised that the marketplace was moving out of the mainframe and the mid-range to x86-based servers. And at the time, the thin client germination started happening with Citrix and started using a shared desktop from a server. And we came up with a thin client as a dedicated device to work with the Citrix protocol many years ago. And as such, we've been developing it from that point onwards through the varying flavours and enhancements to incorporate basically the technology of where we are today, which is a device which is, to all intents and purposes, when you look underneath the hood, it's a powerful PC at the end of the day, albeit solid state, fully capable in what it can do. If it wanted to be used as a standalone device as PC, it probably could. So we're at a point now where we've gone from devices from 25 years ago, which were very rudimentary in what they offered as performance and offering, to now to devices which are fully functioning with dual display capability, multiple cores, audio, USB, all the paraphernalia you'd get on a regular PC, but wrapped up in a very, very small package and using a very, very slow, small amount of power, which is, kind of where they still stick truthful to the original concept. I think that's probably us in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, that's an impressive nutshell. And you know, and I think it's something you're talking about there. And as you're speaking, I did an episode a couple of weeks ago where we were talking about kind of the changing data world that we live in and how we access data, and actually this idea that in the end, that end user device is almost not that important because we tend not to have our data sat on it anyway. You know, so if you know, the example that we were talking about was, if I lose a laptop, that's fine because actually I just get another laptop and then I just sync up to my data. I suppose that kind of plays into your market really well, doesn't it? The idea that actually the end user device is just almost a window onto my applications and my data.
Absolutely. It's also been the thing that's been a cornerstone for the original concept, really, because you know the idea of actually having the important information on a local device on a desktop is you know, that's prehistoric in concept now when you think about it. But when the thin client concept came along, it was still a regular thing. You'd find local applications, which were local applications, even in the enterprise, because that's the way it was and that's the way it evolved. But more so today, yes, it's now moved from data centers to the cloud. It's moved to the virtual side of things as well, which could be located corporately or again virtually up in cyberspace. And yes, completely the fact that the data that you're accessing is physically where it's located now is a complete mystery. But all you need to know is there, and you can get it when you want it. And certainly the way that you access it now really shouldn't be an issue. It shouldn't be a stumbling block at all. It should be, you know, it should be pervasive completely. And that's one that sort of kind of touches on what the way in which the Think Like market has kind of sort of bubbled under the surface a little bit over the time. We've seen the way that technology's developed change and evolve over the time. It was, I mentioned Citrix as one of the early pioneers because they were the guys who really did get the ball rolling with the shared desktop. It was a server, it allowed multiple concurrent users to access a common interface, and it was great. Microsoft basically developed it further, and it was adopted by many organizations to a later greater success. And that's, I think, typically what people perceive as what thin client access is that server silo and people then accessing a series of simplistic applications that are provided for them. The problem that we always experienced with those environments was that it was never, you know, user-friendly. It was never configurable. It was always like, this is the way it has to be. No other way is going to work, which was not particularly great for, you know, getting the best out of your workforce or making a strong case for configuration. And I think that's partly one of the things that, you know, when you look at, say, oh, are they still a thing as thin clients? People always seem to immediately associate the thin client with that kind of working. But we've moved on from there. And we moved on through, you know, a lot of gnashing of teeth and a lot of technological development. The VDI concept, removing the shared desktop component and actually looking at delivered copies of a desktop that are bespoke for the user, has come around. Again, awful lot of pain. But now we've got through those growing pains that do with the way in which you scale it, the way in which you implement it, the smoke and mirrors of consultancy that's associated with it, the costs that are associated with deploying BDI, have all been issues that have been stumbling blocks, which again have been reflective on thin clients as, well, they don't really work because it's so expensive to do, and they've now all been addressed. And we're now getting to the point where actually having a deployed BDI, be it within enterprise or be it actually via a service provider, is now really, really achievable and cost effective. So the VDI and the delivery of the application and the delivery of the data is so much more accessible and achievable that all of a sudden spending money on a PC sitting on a desk, it starts getting a bit questionable. Why do you need it? At the end of the day, all you're doing is accessing a service to get another desktop that you will then work from. So thin clients all of a sudden start becoming a little bit more interesting. I'm not going to go beyond interesting because at the end of the day they're not the most interesting things, but they do become a bit more, you know, viable as a solution that you can actually start to think of as a way of accessing the desktop from a corporate or from a small scale business or from whatever size you like. And you then start possibly remembering what ThinClient did as part of its great opening salvo of we can do this. And they then start becoming really, really good ROIs for organizations to start benefiting from. If you're not aware of them, I'll go over them again. I mean, the battle cry when we first brought the ThinClient out was they're small, they're affordable, they've got longevity about them because they're no moving parts. They will healthily exceed the lifetime of a PC. So you're looking, instead of a 3 or 4 year life cycle, you're looking at a 7 or 8 year life cycle. They're quick to deploy, which is true. But nowadays, what we're adding to that is that they're manageable, they are feature rich, and they are adaptable to the VDI market space to deliver what's required to those desktops for the users to use in as good an experience as if they were using a traditional PC or laptop for that matter. So you're going to get all the benefits of having the power and everything that you would experience by having a desktop, but effectively you're accessing information that could be coming from any one of the four corners of the world. It does make it pervasive.
There's a couple of things you've said in there as well. I think kind of a right, I suppose, or sorry, horrible marketing term warning here, but a right on message with kind of current IT trends, aren't they? You know, you talked in there about simplicity of access and actually just giving you, you know, when you were talking about the idea of the reason that kind of that initial thing that Citrix looked to do and the kind of the original view of how a thin client desktop solution would work. I'm just going to give you simple application, simple access to an app, and from that application you can access your data and you can get the results and do the job that you need to be able to do. And I suppose, yeah, if you look at kind of the modern IT world, the modern IT ecosystem, it's all driven by that. You know, we've got smartphones, we've got tablet devices, we're just presenting a simple and single, almost single usage application that's given us data, you know, whether it's data analytics, whether it's you know, sales information, whether it's the ability to send email. And I mean, are you finding that the world is almost coming back round to being thin client appropriate almost? You know, is that what you're seeing?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's all it's interesting as well, because you've got two conflicting paradigms going on at the same time. You've got the business case, which says, you know, at the end of the day, when you're at work and you're using whatever it is that's on your desktop, that's a tool. That's there for you to do your task as best and as efficiently as possible. But the flip side paradigm is that computing is now everywhere. Most houses have got multiple devices which are compute based in one variety or another. So people have got familiarity with it. So they kind of expect the familiarity they've got from their device at home to be also there when they're at work. And that's where you get this conflict of, you know, how do you approach that? What do you do? Do you make them have that flexibility, or do you say, no, it's a tool? So you have to try and find that balance of how to approach both sides and give the right environment so you get the most efficiency and the best use of, you know, the device without making it something that's going to be an obstruction for that person or a reason for them to go, you must have heard this when you go to an organization where there's a cry that comes up from somewhere and says, well, I've got a computer at home and it does this far quicker. And it's, yeah, because you've not got an enterprise-based computer at home, you've got a tool. And it's trying to get that sort of, you know, erase that kind of distinction effectively, but equally keep the control that allows them to be able to do what they're doing on an ongoing basis. Again, that's why VDI and, you know, the thin client method really does kind of sort of dovetail in beautifully, because you do get the best of both worlds. You get that familiarity, but at the same time you've got the control which you can use within the whole, you know, back-end infrastructure that says, yeah, okay, for these guys, they're going to be getting Windows 10 and they're going to be running it with, you know, a Chrome browser with an Office 365 client. They're going to be having a SAP client as well, which they're accessing through, you know, another web browser. And it's all going to be delivered on the fly. And we can light 50 of them up in a go and deploy straight away. It becomes quite, you know, usable enterprise friendly, and when the user comes in and logs in, they see a familiar interface, they see a familiar desktop, and they're completely oblivious to the fact that what they're actually working on is not in their building, not even in their continent. It could be in, you know, Australia, as far as they're concerned, and they'll be oblivious to it because it's as if they're sitting with a traditional PC on their desk.
Again, I suppose it's not just not just the market coming back round, is it? I know when we spoke last time that we touched on a couple of really interesting kind of you know, modern technology trends where this kind of thin client approach, you know, this kind of easy to deploy, you know, low maintenance, low power end user device is really quite intriguing and quite an interesting solution. So I think you gave me an example last time where you talked about how you're seeing the use of thin client devices within data analytics. Can't remember whether it's healthcare or something like that you were talking about last time. But you know, but are you seeing where these devices are starting to you know, looking like a really attractive option for consideration when it does come to things like data analytics? I'm sure you can touch on as well this idea of, you know, it's a huge topic for us and for our customers, is this idea of data security as well. You know, and obviously one of those big risks is putting data on devices that you have little control over that might leave your organization. So maybe look at those two areas where data analytics and data security and where you're seeing kind of this thin client market maybe maturing to offer an interesting option.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the example you mentioned was that we see an awful lot of, one of our strongest verticals is healthcare, and it's the, again, the solution that we work with is we work in conjunction with, I will name them and I'll name them together. We've got Caradigm and Improvata, who are both companies that provide a capability enabling you to set the smart card sign in and provide tap and go capability log on. And what that realistically translates to in the hospital sector is that a clinician with their smart card would tap in on the actual VDI, the thin client device with their little tap and go connection, be on the keyboard or wherever it happens to be. It would then say, ah, yeah, you're a nurse and you're in obstetrics, therefore you can log in and here's your desktop geared up to work in that particular environment. And they could be on a patient's bed and they can look at the notes and do what they see need to do, I mean, whatever it is they do, because it's beyond me. But they would see it all and it'd be there, fantastic. Take the card out, walk away, it would disconnect the session. They'd then go to the next patient or the next area, they'd tap in again, it would then pop up again, ah, yep, here you go, here's your desktop, and it would have dynamically moved with them to the patient's desktop they're at, and the records potentially would have reflected that as a change as well, because it's determined, oh, actually, you've moved to a different department, so therefore this is the information you need to see here. So it's dynamically creating the workspace they need to, based on who they are and where they are, but equally, as soon as they've removed, they've tapped out with their card, it's secured it. It's removed it, so it's no longer on public display. It's no longer accessible to people who might be passing by, because something like a hospital, although you've got visiting hours, you've got so many people who are working in the hospital who have no idea who they are. You don't necessarily want that information left on a monitor saying about their own personal healthcare for all and sundry to read. So the security of it remains invisible in terms of it disappears when it's not being there, but it's readily available when it needs to be. And that's the beauty of where something like this technology does lend itself, because to do that with, you could do that, of course, with a PC. No saying, not at all, but you've got to have that PC on all the time. And it's got to be ready. And you've also got that element of, okay, how clean is it going to be when I tap out? How much is going to be residual? With a thin client, nothing's residual. Usually it's often a completely different operating system than the thin client compared to the back end. And it is completely, you know, erased upon you disappearing away from that session. So the security is definitely contained within the data center, and there's no fear of the you know, those horror stories you read about in the paper of, you know, a laptop being left on a tube train with 10,000 medical records on it, or, you know, CD-ROMs being found in the council dump. Those to get that information into those particular areas where that accidental aspect can occur, it's mind-bogglingly different when you start adopting VDI as the way that you can access the information.
Just out of interest, actually, because of the things, you know, and that kind of market, are you seeing, you know, especially you're not being with Prime that long, but as an organization, are you seeing a difference in the way that people, a difference in the type of projects that people are looking at Thin Client for today than they might have done 5 or 6 years ago?
Oh, completely. Yeah, completely. I mean, it's a week is a long time in politics. I don't know what the appropriate
Oh, it is in the UK at the moment, isn't it? Blimey.
analogy 24 hours is. But I don't know what the time frame would be on IT. But yeah, I mean, you step back 5 years, dual screen was a luxury, wasn't it? So we've seen a whole sea change in the way in which the technology deployed and changed. I think the biggest difference has been was that the way in which you would have pitched the technology several years ago compared to today, it would have been aimed at the call centre or the service desk, where you're getting a whole raft of people that might be even working on shifts using the same infrastructure and the same interface for doing what they need to do, which is basically having access to email and a database, and probably that's your lot. So you could get away with having a shared desktop in that particular instance. And the way that technology's changed and the way that cost and everything's been driven, we've now seen, obviously, that still persists and that's still viable. But what we're seeing is we're seeing an incredibly, you know, big sweep and change towards the published desktop. And we've definitely seen an improvement, and in case where it's been very, very beneficial in the healthcare sector. Education, the new academies are desperately trying to get, you know, kids to go to them by giving them the best tools that they can in the most affordable way. And VDI provides them that solution. They've got this managed central way of delivering Windows 10, and yet they've got no PCs on desks. They've got thin clients to be able to do it for them. So it's, you know, they instantly had the data stored safely, but they also, you know, eliminated that big bit of infrastructure that sits on classrooms, which anyone's got kids who are under the age of 16 know exactly what they're like. And what can I put in a USB slot that's not meant to be a USB device? Oh, I know. Blue tack, chewing gum, pencil rubbers, pencils. But if they've got nothing like that to play with, then all of a sudden the whole sort of investment that they're putting into it becomes really, really sound. Housing, always been a very, very strong player when it comes to thin client, but now they're able to use, have traditional desktops now rather than shared desktop again. And with housing organisations and housing associations, I should say, where they typically amalgamate and you have disparate housing associations throughout the company all sharing one common infrastructure, thin client is beautifully associated with those guys to actually allow for that. So, you know, in terms of the way the verticals have changed over recent years, yeah, we've still got the same solid ones we've always had. But what we're now seeing is we're now seeing it become very, very viable and suitable for all manner of solutions. I don't think there really is an avenue or a sector which you could out categorically say out and out, no, it's not suitable. I think the closest you get when that's where you have got a limitation is like the road warrior, the you know, the person who is travelling here, there and everywhere, where they're not guaranteed to get a solid signal. They can't connect to a 4G or 3G connection, in which case you're not going to get away from the requirement of having a laptop. Simplicity. I mean, there are vendors out there who've made thin client laptops, but they work up to a point, and that point is when they've lost their signal, they're useless. So that's where you probably will find that there's going to be still it won't actually provide a solution in that respect.
And I suppose that comes back to this kind of idea of mobility of experience, doesn't it? That actually, maybe when I'm sat at a desk, all I need is a device that gives me an experience. When I leave the office and I get on the road, maybe I'm going to take my Surface Pro or a smartphone or something like that. And as
Exactly.
long as I've got access to applications and data, it goes back to something we said earlier. The end user device is almost becoming irrelevant. It's about, I want to be able to have access to my applications, access to my data in whatever form and whatever form factor fits that specific kind of point in time. And the idea that I want some big powerful laptops, and you know, I'm sure we both appreciate there are people who absolutely need big powerful laptops to go and do the job. You know, if your job includes doing lots of demonstrations and you need 15 virtual machines running on a laptop, then there's no good taking out a small a Surface Pro or something like that. You know, it's probably not got enough horsepower for that. But if I just want access to applications and be able to use something, then you know that's great for that. We're kind of coming to an end of our time a little bit here. But something I did want to ask you and didn't want you to escape without chatting about was some of this stuff that you do around securing traditional desktops. So not necessarily thin client stuff, but I know you guys have got some technology, and I think it's quite interesting around this conversation we're having around security, where you can assist organizations in delivering this kind of secure desktop experience and provide the level of automation around that. I mean, just wanted to kind of just touch on that briefly as we wrap up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the crucial thing is that, I mean, we've mentioned it, there's an ebb and flow in the popularity of thin client, and we're all too keenly aware of that. We could be riding the crest of a wave now, but used to say we'll be doing that next year, and I think we're not alone in that as a vendor. We have to look a little bit beyond the realms of what's our traditional industry, and we have to kind of look at what we've got as a technology and see how we can use that to make other devices as viable as the thin client is. So we've scratched our heads a little bit about that. We've now physically come out with a repurposing utility, which basically is a way of converting an existing PC into a thin client. And again, we're not alone in that, but effectively, it'll, you know, again, this is more again a sales throw as much as anything, because you've talked to a lot of vendors who adopt VDI, and they will have quite a genuinely, you know, good response, and they say, well, hang on, I've got an existing PC estate here. Some of these devices are less than a year old. Are you saying I should chuck them away and put in, you know, thin clients? Well, no, you shouldn't, obviously not. So the option to be able to take the OS off it completely and put on a secure, hardened, thin client-style operating system onto a PC basically converts them into a thin client, albeit running on a traditional desktop. Well, that's, again, this also, when you start doing these sort of deployments, you have a real rough 80-20 rule that you can probably get 80% of your estate onto that kind of infrastructure, but there'll be 20% of the estate you physically cannot move, and that is obviously the mobile devices, because they're going to be mobile, so you can't touch them. And there's also those devices which, for whatever reason, have to run local applications, legacy, security, specific hardware requirements, whatever it happens to be. But you're going to be able to have an us. You'll end up with an us and them at the end of the day. So it'll be the majority of the people who are having this slick, swanky VDI connection, but you get the poor old souls out there with their legacy devices, which kind of jump on the VDI when they need to, but kind of have to jump off it when they have to do something local. We've looked at that side of things, but we've also looked at the fact that you might actually have infrastructure out there where they don't want to chuck away their Windows investment. They want to retain using Windows operating system on device, but they want to make sure that the device goes back to what we said mentioned earlier, that they're actually making it into a tool. So they have it when they fire up, a nice clean interface that they can access their published applications, be it from software as a service or a desktop as a service or from a server farm or from the web or from local devices. And it's in a nice clean uncluttered interface that gives them that, gives them a little bit of control to make it so they're left or right handed without burdening the support team or adjusting the display size or the normal sort of ergonomics that you don't want to waste a support team with a daily having to come out and fix for you kind of thing, but then delivering them their tools for the day. So we've actually written and developed effectively it's a shell replacement that you can drop onto Windows. It will provide that new interface, which can be branded, so you can have your corporate backdrops on it and all your logos and everything like that. It's configurable. It's informative because it gives enough information that tells the machine name and IP address if you wish and times and dates and all that sort of funky stuff. But it then allows the organization to say, yeah, you need to have access to an email solution, a word processor, spreadsheet, a web page, a line of business application, CRM, whatever it happens to be, and that's all you need. And it's all going to be presented in a nice, easy fashion. You click on it, and it's there, and it's released. And we also then bundle it up by actually sticking a write filter onto the back end of it, too. So we're actually hardening off the way in which data is written back to the hub. So you're kind of actually presenting the same sort of benefits of the Windows embedded operating system, but to a traditional Windows environment. Again, you control alt delete capability, log on, alt log out, all that functionality is still going to be present, but they're going to be delivering applications that are going to be relevant for them or are presented to them courtesy of VDI, software as a service, applications as a service, corporate decisions that have gone on to deliver the relevant software, however it needs to be done, and it's all managed from a central point. So we see that's quite an important development, because that's effectively the initial stepping stone that you need to be looking at as a way to give a more viable way of accessing things like BYOD and make that less sort of intrusive to somebody if they want to use their own HomeKit in the enterprise without them having to lose any of their configuration or, you know, remove any of their personality from their device, which they're being very generous and saying I can use to do my work. So that's a kind of the route forward, where we're looking to actually provide a way of abstracting the working enterprise into the BYOD interspace. And that's kind of where the roadmap seems to be going, we think. We think is a way that a lot of vendors kind of need to be going towards as a managed solution that can allow that to function for them.
Well, Tony, I think that's, I think if nothing else, I think we've proved here in the last half hour that thin clients are probably still a thing, and sound like they're going to continue to be a thing as well, which is great for you. But I think it is. I think it is interesting that, you know, that as an industry, we kind of see these things kind of dip in and out of fashion. But it doesn't change the fact that actually these things are still a good technology for delivering in the right environment, delivering the right solution. You know, and I think that the way you've talked there about kind of what Prime do and that thin client market, I think, you know, to me certainly means that, you know, as a technology that very much remains viable, very much, as I said, you know, remains a thing. So if people who've listened to the show also think that thin clients are still a thing, whereabouts can they go to find information out about what Prime do? Maybe if they want to come stalk you online, what's a good way to do that? What's a good way for people to follow up?
Absolutely. Our website's www.prime.com. I believe we are on LinkedIn, we're on Twitter. I refuse to go on Facebook, so I'm assuming we're on there, but I might be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure we're on all the social media things. And we're there just by looking up Prime, and you can find us. We're a friendly bunch as well, so we're always welcome to have some comments left for us and fired our way. We generally will get back to you. And that's one of the things that I quite enjoy about working for the company, is that we are quite we've got the Italian ethos and ethic of the family, and we're quite welcoming. So if anybody wants to fire questions our way, or if they want more information, yeah, we're more than happy to help out and listen and have a chat about it.
Right. Well, Tony, look, thanks for that. Very much appreciate your time. And thanks for doing this, and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Wonderful. Always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
Cheers, Paul.
Enjoy that episode. If you want the show notes, why not pop over to techstringy.com, where you can also find all of our previous Tech Interviews episodes. And if you enjoyed the show, why not subscribe? You can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud, or wherever else you get your podcasts. So until next time, thanks for listening.